Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to episode 3 of E4 2016. This is the Sony show.
Woohoo!
And we're really excited about that. Because we really enjoyed Sony's press conference.
Yeah.
It was kind of awesome.
I don't think we're going to enjoy anything else the rest of the week.
No.
We really enjoyed that.
Today has been a bit of a downer.
I see a lot of video games in our future.
I do too. We've had some fun playing video games today.
Yes.
We fired up Doom and did the shareware. I love the fact that in the press conference they called it shareware.
Yeah.
They
it's what it is.
Demo as shareware.
It's what it is.
It's been so long since I've heard the term shareware. It was kind of awesome. But we played the demo, and the demo was fun and super short.
Yeah, and I think it totally got you. You were like, yeah, I can get with this.
Yeah, it's fun. It's super fast. It is way
That's
intense.
Your thing.
Well, that is my thing. I like fast shooters. So.
I'm going to have to, like, when I play it on the PC, I'm going to have to go super easy.
Right.
I'm going to get torched.
Yeah, the level was like 20 minutes long, and I still died twice at least. So, and that's a normal difficulty. I was impressed. Cool
yeah.
game. And then we played some NBA 2K16, which is pretty fun.
That's awesome.
We're having a good time with that.
The Freak!
he's getting better, too.
Yeah.
The Freak is. We played the Golden State Warriors a second ago and beat them.
I can't believe.
I didn't play the fourth quarter. I pulled a Steph.
You're one of the only guys in the world that gets to say he torched Steph Curry.
That's right. It was pretty impressive. So anyway, we're having a good time. But like I said, this is the Sony press conference, and we have a ton to talk about with the Sony press conference.
Wow.
Yeah.
Before we start, can I just say everything else that you hear from us for the rest of the week will be compared to this.
Yes.
And we're sorry.
And maybe next year and the year after. And
But that's kind of the way, I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
That's how you run a press conference.
It was really well done. Let me lay this out, because I think this is important. Because we're going to get called Sony fanboys because of this.
We always do.
Right. We get called fanboys of somebody. But I think there's a legitimate thing to say that you and I own PlayStation 4s. We don't own Xbox One. So we have a vested interest in Sony being good.
Right.
It's good for us if Sony is good.
I will say this. If Microsoft had been good, we would have been going, oh, wow, we got to go buy an Xbox One.
So that's the thing, is we work really hard to be as objective as we can with these things. We want to be objective. We want to come in and say, okay, here's what they did. Here's their level playing field. And so I was a little worried that, you know, after the Sony press conference, right at the end, we were both like, oh, my God, that was awesome. And then it was like, okay, well, let's tamp that down for just a second. Make sure it was really that awesome. And as soon as the IGN guys came on, one of them said, is that the best press conference in E3 history? Legitimately asking the question. I felt immediately better at that point about our giddiness over that Sony press conference.
Look, when I hear something like that, it makes me think we might not be completely off base with what we think and what we talk about.
Yeah, it's always nice to be validated from people who like do this
get
all
paid.
The time and get paid. Yes, that is a nice thing. So we're going to jump right in and talk a lot about it. Before we do that, let me mention, go by the website, GamingUncensored.com, to see stuff we're doing. We are going to make one change tonight because Nintendo's doing weird stuff and we don't really understand it. We're going to put off the Nintendo show, but we're still going to do a show tonight. We're just not going to do a Nintendo show tonight. We'll do a Nintendo show tomorrow.
Right.
But we're going to do a show tonight, and so be prepared for that. You can come hang out on the live stream with us at 7 o'clock, and we'll talk about maybe the PC gaming show. We've got Ubisoft to talk about. Square didn't really do anything.
It's still going.
It's still going. So far, we saw Final Fantasy cover art and a whole story behind that. And old Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what are you guys doing? Like, y'all have really good software.
You have a brand new game coming out in, like, August.
Bunch of them. They've got Deus Ex. They have Kingdom Hearts coming. They've got Final Fantasy 15, which they talked about not actual Final Fantasy 15, but these other, like, spinoffs, a movie, an animated thing, this other game that's, like, a side-scroller thing. I don't know. Square Enix is messing with my head. So whatever with them, we'll figure them out later. But we've still got plenty to talk about. We've got tons and tons of stuff. So gamingunsensored.com, check that out. We're done with our live blogging, but you can still see stuff. We may still add some content as we watch trailers, and so we may add a post that just has a bunch of trailers and kind of thoughts on it, that kind of stuff. So.
And we are the flagship gaming podcast of fanboynation.com. You see, I'm working
that's good.
Real hard to get that
that's
in there.
5 minutes into the show, I'm impressed. So.
Yeah.
And go check out the Patreon that's newly set up, and give us some money if you want to. And
yes.
Like us, so. All that, Sony time. So they set the bar really high. I was a little nervous for them setting the bar high because they started with a live orchestra playing. And then that orchestra essentially scored the entire show, the entire press conference. Even some of the gameplay, the score was the live orchestra not coming from the game, which is nuts. That you just had an orchestra and a pit playing along with their press conference. And it was really impressive.
And I'm like, I'm looking around going, I don't think I've ever seen that. Like, that's the most professional thing I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And everything that they did was just screamed class.
Yeah.
Like, it was very well put together. It was very tight. They talked about the tragedies in the last couple of days.
Sure.
And like you were talking about with the music and the presentation part of it. I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head.
Sean.
Whatever
his last name is.
But Sean was maybe the... I never once felt like... he was reading off a teleprompter.
Right, which has its pros and its cons, because sometimes he was a little slow. But still, did great. And he had his own theme music every time he walked out on the stage. There was this great orchestrated, like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
Like, that was amazing. It was like, that's pretty cool, having your own theme music. So,
yeah,
it started off that way. We got this kind of intro song with some lights and that kind of stuff. And then... We get a little bit of video, and we don't know what it is. There's a little kid, and the kid is talking to somebody, and somebody is in the shadows, and there's a little dialogue going back and forth. And then the person in the shadows steps out, and it's freaking Kratos with a beard, like epic beard Kratos. And it was like, oh, my God, they're starting with God of War. Like
I thought you were going to lose it right there. You're like, this got a beard. Check out the beard.
Yeah. So Kratos comes out, and Kratos has a son, and so what the backstory is with this God of War, I have no clue, because the other God of Wars, like, Kratos' family is dead, but this is not young Kratos, and so it seems like maybe alternate universe story or something like that. I don't know. I don't care. But it's God of War. It's this little cinematic, and then gameplay. They showed gameplay of just about everything, which was awesome. But gameplay of this new God of War... with Kratos and his son, and like Kratos is trying to teach him how to hunt, and then they get attacked by some enemies, and then there's one of the big enemies that you get from God of War, and so there's this big fight, and it's God of War, and it's gruesome, and it's awesome, and ridiculous, and then they kill the big enemy, they're chasing this deer, Kratos is trying to get his son to kill the deer, his son's not really into killing things, whatever. It's like God of War, but with like sentiment.
Yeah.
Like, God of War has never been a game for sentiment. Like, God of War in the past is like, that one of the people who was talking about after the show was like, God of War in the past is sacrificing prostitutes, you know? Like, that's what God of War has been. And this is all of a sudden like touchy-feely God of War. But it looked maybe a little open world-ish, maybe. Looked very witchery.
The IGN guys mentioned something about... looking like The Witcher 3, which I thought was interesting. And that's not a bad comparison.
You've got to be compared to a game, The Witcher's about as good as it gets.
It's not a bad way to go about it. And I like the way that they are thinking, because you don't know what the time period is. Like, this guy that looks like Kratos could be Kratos' father.
Right.
You know? Like, he's Kratos' senior, and the little kid could be, like,
Kratos from the other God of War games.
And so, like, I'm intrigued by, okay, what are we doing here? And the whole first part of the demo is them hunting this deer, and this kid trying to find this deer before his dad beats the snot out of him, you know? And it was really good.
Yeah. And that's how they started. And it didn't go down from there. It kind of stuck at that level and yeah, was just phenomenal. So did that, which the orchestra played along with. Like, the orchestra was providing the score for the demo, which was super cool. And then Sean comes out and talks for a little bit. And then they show Days Gone, which is almost all of these are exclusive too, which is amazing. Right. So Days Gone is exclusive. It's a zombie post-apocalyptic, very Walking Dead-like game. You're playing this dude who has become a mercenary after the zombie apocalypse and, like, his family's dead or whatever. They started the show with a little teaser, and they showed a couple of different videos. This was the first one, and it looks very, very good. And then the end of the show, this is also how they ended the show, they put up a lot of gameplay of it and kind of walk through this whole mission that kind of falls apart and things get nuts and zombies everywhere. And
can I just mention, we say zombies everywhere, and you know, we talk about how crazy stuff got. If you haven't seen this, if you haven't pulled it up, you need to go take a look.
GamingUncensored.com.
Yes, because we have it. You need to look at this, because I want to bring up something. We talk about the power of consoles all the time. This was not about this. This looked like a good looking game, but this was not really about the environment. This, to me, the environment was great, but this to me was about the number of zombies on the screen.
Yep.
Which was absolutely freaking ridiculous
and terrifying. So once upon a time, you remember the rubber ducky tech demos. This is going back many, many E3s ago. But used to be, it was like, look at all the individual rubber duckies that behave in their own way. Like, this was showing off like PlayStation 2 hardware or whatever, you know. And it's like, this is how powerful this hardware is, that you could have independent rubber duckies that all bounce and move different, whatever. Now it's, you've got hundreds of independent zombies coming to kill you.
Literally hundreds.
And, like, there's this kind of hive mentality with them, too, but some of them break off from the pack and kind of try to flank you. And, like, it's nuts. And looks, A, terrifying. B, really awesome. Looks like a really good game. And, I'm sure it's been out there for a little bit, because I looked up a little bit about it, and the, like, trademark for the name was from, like, January. But I don't know if there's been any like news out there about this game, really. But I didn't know anything about it until then, and I'm ready for it. It's awesome.
You're
it
like,
looks
give me,
so good.
Give me.
It's the Walking Dead game, like how the Uncharted is the Indiana Jones game. We don't have that kind of Walking Dead game. We've got the Telltale games, which we love, and there's a new one of those coming out. We're gonna have to talk about season 3 is coming, but we haven't gotten the more realistic type of Walking Dead game. This feels like it. This feels like that title, and it looks really, really cool.
Yeah, when Kirkman sees it, he's gonna be like, "Why didn't somebody call me?"
Yeah. So that's awesome. That looks phenomenal. And then after that, we got The Last Guardian, which is back. And that's awesome.
That was like a total surprise.
Right? We saw it last year, and we were like, well, we won't see it this year. And so they showed off a longer video for it than we've seen in the past. It looks really, really good. And then they set a release date. And the release date is October 25th, which is like 4 months from now.
That's like tomorrow.
It's really soon. And so not only is The Last Guardian no longer vaporware, it's going to come out before Christmas, which is awesome. So go by GamingUncensored.com to check out the trailer of that as well. And so 3 really good looking games, 3 exclusives.
Yeah,
that's where we are so far.
And look, these 3 are the type of games that will totally make people go out and buy systems.
Yeah,
and that's the first like 20 minutes.
Yeah, this is already beating Microsoft. Like, we're done. Like, Microsoft, sorry, man.
Go home.
Right.
See ya.
Like, the first 3 titles that Sony showed off has already put them to shame. And we're just getting started. There's so much more. It's freaking,
yeah.
It moves so fast. Like, I was doing the live blog. I just couldn't keep up because it was moving. It was like game after game after game.
And they couldn't either.
And they're phenomenal games. Like, none of them were throwaway titles. So, After that, we got Horizon Zero Dawn, which we saw last year, which is it reminded me last year of Turok. It's the female protagonist in this kind of open world where there's dinosaurs, but the dinosaurs are all like mech dinosaurs and yes. like other creatures that are robotic. Whatever, I don't really get it. But they showed gameplay of it. The Last Guardian, they didn't show gameplay of. Everything else we've talked about, they've right. showed gameplay of. They show gameplay of it, and it looks really good. Like, last year I was kind of like, that's interesting, but it's not one that I had on my radar for this year's E3. It's not one that I anticipated I would want to play. After seeing the gameplay of it this year, I have to play this game.
You know what? The gameplay was tight. And the other thing that got me is she's running along trying to go about her business, and she runs into a villager, and they start a little conversation there. Like, and one of the IGN guys said it looked like you take a quest right there. And it was an actual like dialogue tree.
Yeah.
And I really just that was cool to me. I don't know why, just because it kind of got Mass Effect-y there for just a second. You're like, ooh, what's that?
Yeah.
And then off onto your business that you were doing.
Yeah.
And it just, it's so much fun.
It's like a Stone Age sci-fi game.
Yeah.
I don't even know like if that makes sense, but that's what it is. And it's big open world. And so The Witcher has come up a lot because The Witcher has done this just great outdoor world. And now we're seeing a lot of that. And so God of War had that feel to it. This also has that feel to it, that the environment, the world that you're exploring is such
a part of the game.
And man,
it was sexy.
Really pretty.
I mean, for crying out loud, we're going to say it for the next 45 minutes. But all of the games that Sony showed, all of them, put the best of what Microsoft showed to shame,
yep.
presentation-wise.
Yep.
I mean, you were sitting in the Microsoft press conference going, these aren't really that pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of Sony's were.
Phenomenal. So now four games, four exclusives, four must-plays.
Yes.
Next one, Detroit Become Human. Go again and check out the trailer for this because we can't do it
GamingUpsister.com, right. Thank you.
this is the new Quantic Dream game, and we are Quantic Dream fanboys through and through.
Yes,
and
we
so
are.
Indigo Prophecy, we loved, we adored that game. Heavy Rain is phenomenal.
Very cool.
We played through, what was the most recent one with Ellen Page? What's the name of that game?
Beyond.
Beyond, yes. We played through Beyond together at E3 maybe a couple years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was a good game. Probably the worst of their games, and that's not a bad badge to wear. Like, it was still a really good game, but Indigo Prophecy and Heavy Rain were phenomenal. So this one's called Detroit Become Human. Which is a weird name when you say it out loud, but whatever. But it's apparently like androids, and like maybe you can change your decisions. And so it's still very decision driven. It's still very quick time events. You know it immediately if you've played Quantic Dream games in the past. When you see it, both kind of visual style, and you see some of the quick time event stuff and how the dialogue works and all that, it's very obviously Quantic Dream. So this one, I'll say, may not appeal to everybody because I think a lot of people hate Quantic Dream games. I think they're kind of polarizing. But we love them. And so this is maybe the game I'm most pumped about from the Sony press conference.
They are hard for me to play because of my whole...
Sure, those quick time events are yeah, a little brutal.
They're tough for me to play unless I'm with you. Like,
right.
I'm not... But even they're on the PC, I'm not.
But they're the perfect games to watch.
Yes. Because
they're so cinematic and so narrative driven, and they're very little gameplay. I mean, if you like a shoot 'em up, it's not that by any means, but they're psychological and mind bending and all this stuff. And this one looks like it's going to be the same way, and it's gorgeous. Just beautiful as a game. And so, yeah, five games, five exclusives, five must plays. And we're now half an hour into the show or whatever it is. It's ridiculous. And then they step it up even a little bit more and say, hey, we're going to show you a VR demo now, and kind of starts the VR section of the show, which they did a lot of PlayStation VR.
Yes, they did.
And it was darn impressive. And it's a dark room, and it's super creepy, and you're walking around, and you know something's going to jump out at you at some point, and it's getting scarier and scarier the whole time.
And it doesn't. You're like, it's going to happen.
Right. Yeah, go watch the trailer. It won't freak you out. And then you find out that it's Resident Evil 7 Biohazard in VR.
Right.
Resident Evil in VR. Nope.
And you said it, and I said it, and somebody, somebody in the crowd, the trailer was over, just out of the crowd, you hear this guy go, nope.
Yep. That was my favorite part of the whole show. It's just the dude, Sean is like, Resident Evil in VR, and this dude in the audience goes, nope. I'm like, I'm with you, man. That's scary as whatever. Like, that's terrifying. But it's awesome. Like, that's phenomenal. Like, the first thing Sony shows at VR press conference is Resident Evil.
I say that I'm not going to play those, but if you gave me one horror game to get me in,
yeah,
it's that.
Yeah. And it looked Resident Evil. It didn't look like Resident Evil 6. It didn't look like Resident Evil 5, whatever. Like, it looked like Resident Evil, like Resident Evil is supposed to look from the early days of Resident Evil. And it looks terrifying. So, there we go. PlayStation VR, October 13th, $400, 50 games available by the end of the year.
We have to have this discussion. Yep. I'm sorry.
Yep.
We've been talking about VR ad nauseum for months.
Yes.
Okay? And we've been waiting around on PlayStation VR. What's it going to be? Are we going to have one? So on and so forth.
Yep.
They get through this reel. And they're showing us all the different games. And I look at you, and I'm like, I don't know what we're going to buy. We're going to buy the Vive. We're going to buy the Oculus. But whatever we buy, we have to have this on top of it.
Yes.
Right? And it's not even, at this point, it's not even a discussion. Like, they're going to get my $400, and I'm putting that on my head. Because they already have the stuff that I'm like, I don't care if I have the ability to play it really well. Like, I don't care if I have to get some help or whatever I need to do. Like, I gotta have that. And I think you agree with me, but just give your two cents on that, because I didn't think I was gonna feel that way. You've been talking about, well, if it's available, I might pick it up and save myself some money just as an entry point. But now I feel like we have to have it regardless of whatever else we do.
Yes, you're exactly right. I have been excited about PlayStation VR for the fact that it was going to be the cheapest entry point into VR, given that I already own a PlayStation 4. I don't own a PC that can do Oculus or Vive. And so in order to we'll get there.
Yeah.
But right now, and in October, I likely won't either. And then it's $600 or $750 on top of that. PlayStation VR is $400. And so it's not going to be as high-end of an experience as an HTC Vive on a top-of-the-line PC. It's not. And I know that, and everybody else should know that. But it's going to be good. Like, it's not going to suck. Like, it's going to be the entry-level VR that I think is probably going to have the best support, like the best kind of platform support, at least to start with. The games that we saw were really encouraging.
I mean, like, major.
Yeah,
like,
Resident Evil. They started with freaking Resident Evil on the thing.
Like, we're not talking about, like, hey, little thing on rails, and here we go. We're talking about real games here.
Yeah.
And I never in a thousand years thought that I would say, okay, I'm going to get some sort of VR on the PC, and I have to have this, but I have to have PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
I don't know why I can't use the controller, but I have to, it's $400. Here, here's my $400.
Right. Take my money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now the question is do we get it on the day it comes out? You know, like that's what it's not do we get it, it's how quickly do we get it.
I think it's all about what's available when it comes out.
Right. Because we already know like what's coming in the box and all that kind of stuff we've talked about. Like all we need to know now is what games are going to be available October 13th.
If you got games on October 13th that are games we want to play, here, take the money.
Yep.
Take the money and we are going to run home. And I don't know how it's going to happen, But if there's a game in the box that we want to play, I may make you drag your butt down here because that's going to be the first, really, that's going to be the first option for a VR experience. I mean, I don't think I'm going to get a PC and a Vive by October. I might. I'll probably get the PC built. I don't know if I'm going to drop $750 on the Vive.
Sure.
By October, but
either way, like, this is a must-have.
Yeah.
I don't think you can argue that. And the fact that Sony will have a virtual reality headset on the market in October that I think is very, very intriguing, and Microsoft hasn't announced yet what their virtual reality is going to be. They've announced that they're doing virtual reality because it was part of Project Scorpio, but that's a year and a half away.
Ah, just see, that's the other angle that I want to talk to you about, because this is what makes it great. They didn't say, we're going to release this thing for $400, and we've also got this other hardware that will make it rock. That didn't happen, because they said they weren't going to talk about it, and they didn't talk about their new hardware. What they said was, it's coming out in October, it's $400. You take it home, you plug it in, and you go.
Yeah.
I think that's huge.
I do, too.
Huge.
Yeah, massive. I think it's awesome that Sony is saying, what you've already got in your house is VR ready. You know, like, Microsoft, they didn't say this, but this is kind of the insinuation. It's like, Microsoft is having to spend a year and a half getting you a VR-ready console. You already have one if you have a PlayStation 4, and we're going to prove it in October. You know? Like,
now, if it comes out in October and there are issues and you find out you need an extra power brick or some things aren't working the way it needs to work, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. I think if that was a question, they wouldn't have opened their mouths.
Yeah, I hope you're right on that. I think there's probably some truth to that. And it may be worth waiting a little bit of time just to make sure it is. Go demo one at GameStop or something like that. But right now, I'm sold on it. Right now, I think it's going to be a big deal.
If I don't have to buy anything, like I said, and I don't want to sound like we're dropping a bunch of money. That's why we started a Patreon, because we can't pay for all this gear.
By the way, support our Patreon so we can go get PlayStation VR.
Yes, please do that. But the thing is if I don't have to buy a new PlayStation to make this work, if I don't have to spend a whole lot of extra money to make this work, if all I got to do is give them $400, get the thing, and off I go. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah. 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 We're still just getting started. There's so much more to come in this stinking press conference. So after Resident Evil and after they talked about VR for a little bit, they showed some other VR demos. The first one was one called Farpoint, which I don't know anything about, but it was kind of a sci-fi shooter thing. It looked pretty cool. We'll see.
Yeah.
And then there was just a little teaser we know nothing about, but it's a Batman Arkham VR game.
It didn't show anything.
Didn't show any gameplay, what it's going to do, but it was just the Joker talking about this idea of putting on the mask. And so you get the idea that you're going to put on the headset and now you're Batman. And I'm real into the idea of a Batman VR
game. That's freaky, man. You talk about something that's freaky, putting on the mask and looking out the cowl in first person. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they showed off Final Fantasy, and so we saw some Final Fantasy 15 again. And then they announced that there's going to be a Final Fantasy VR thing. I don't know what it is. It's not the whole game. It's not like you can play through all Final Fantasy 15 in VR. But there's I don't know if it's a standalone. I don't know if it's a component of the game, whatever. But there's a VR component to Final Fantasy 15.
And I was hoping we might have some sort of clue today during the Square press conference.
Right.
No, they showed old Tomb Raider.
And Final Fantasy box art. For, I kid you not, like half an hour. Like talking through the process of what the Final Fantasy 15 box art looks like.
Can I gotta say something, and I'm gonna get in trouble. This is probably why we're not ever going to make any money. But this morning we watched the Nintendo Treehouse thing, which was a non thing.
Yeah.
And they're doing something else tomorrow, and that's why we're doing the Nintendo show tomorrow. Then I fire up this Square Enix conference thing, quote unquote, and these people, like, they're really happy to be there. They're like jazzed, and I know they're paid to be jazzed. That's why they're on camera. That's why they're doing their thing. But it's like, I wonder if they get off camera and get off mic and go, yeah, I'm not going to have any friends. Because if I'm a gamer at all, what I just did, my friends got to realize is stupid. I mean, look, we love Nintendo, and we'll talk more about them later. We love Square. But both of those things were non-informational for the most part.
Right. What they were essentially doing is stage shows that weren't well done. And it was just
kind of
a disappointment. Neither one of them was a press conference. We kind of went into both of them thinking they were going to have somewhat of a press conference format, and neither one of them did. So, yeah, we'll talk more about Nintendo. We'll talk about Square when we watch videos, but there was no press conference thing to speak of. So, we also saw Battlefield, the X-Wing VR, and so what we saw in
Battlefront,
sorry, those are easy to get mixed up, and they're both EA titles. Give me a break, EA. Battlefront, and so in the EA conference, we saw that little quick moment in the Battlefront montage of somebody with a PlayStation VR on their head. During the Sony press conference, we got a little bit more of that because we saw the actual X-Wing version of PlayStation VR. And it looks cool. Like, maybe it'd be cooler if you could play all of Battlefront in VR. That's not what it's going to be. But, like, one of the things I feel like VR could do really well is aerial fighting games.
Flight simulator.
Yeah, like that.
Awesome.
That, like, we're super pumped about this Star Trek game that we'll talk about that's coming, that's, you know, sitting in the, on the deck of a starship. And yeah, so, like, VR, you could get away with different things that sound fun. This looks fun. And then my favorite moment of the entire Sony press conference, we see a game. We don't know what it is. And it's right after all this VR stuff. And so really the most of the time, we're just talking about trying to figure out whether or not this game is a VR game or not.
And keep in mind, this conference is moving at a breakneck pace.
Just so fast.
I mean, like,
we're not an hour into the conference at this point.
Like, we're seeing games, and before we even have a chance to, like, look at each other and go, what was that we just saw? They're on to the next thing. Like, he types fairly quickly.
Yes.
And he just, like, quit.
Yeah.
Half hour because you can't keep up.
There's just no chance.
This thing comes on and we're watching this and it, like, it's this space thing. And I'm looking at him going, what's this thing? And he goes, I don't know. And they're in a fighter. And I'm like, it looks like Colony Wars. And Colony Wars was a Sony thing back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, Colony Wars was huge.
Yeah.
And then they hop out of the fighter and they're running around. And I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, here? And it's in space. And so it's like zero gravity. And so they're using like hooks to latch onto things. And like this gunfight that's happening without gravity. And it looks freaking awesome. We're like freaking out at this point. We're like, what is this? We have to have this. Like,
because part of the thing was I thought they were still running the VR reel.
Right. I did too. And yeah, if this is in VR, that would make it even better. I don't know that it is because it never said it was. But then we come to find out that this game is going to make us eat crow because it was stinking Call of Duty. It was stinking Call of Duty. Like, we were freaking out for the Call of Duty game that a month ago we just lambasted. We said was the stupidest idea and that we have no interest in playing this game. And Battlefield 1 looks awesome. And this new Call of Duty game, just, ugh, why would anybody play that?
What are you idiots doing?
And then they give it to us without telling us on the front end that it's Call of Duty. And we're dopes enough to not notice. There's other people that got it right away. But we haven't paid enough attention to Call of Duty. We just thought it looked cool. And so they got us.
Like, seriously, I wish there had been a camera on because we were nearly on top of each other. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, we were so geeking out. And it was Call of Duty the whole time.
And look, I have no problem with eating crow.
Nope.
I have no problem. Like, I was wrong.
I want to play that part of that game desperately badly.
Yes.
It looked awesome.
The rest may suck.
The rest may suck.
I don't care about the rest of it. But
that part looked awesome. And give it to me in VR to top it off. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
It seems unlikely. That's a pretty heavy game. But I don't know. That looks cool. So, they also announced Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remaster. Which
I don't care.
Cool. Modern Warfare was a great Call of Duty game, but yeah, not gonna play it. And then we got Crash Bandicoot remasters are coming too, which is kind of cool. And there's another Skylanders. Isn't that what it is?
Right. Yeah.
It's coming with Crash Bandicoot. And then this is maybe where it slowed down the most. Is we had Crash Bandicoot, and then we had Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens, which looks cool.
Yeah.
It's a Lego Star Wars
game,
right? I'm not
going to play it because I saw the movie.
Right. It's like shot for the movie, but with Legos and like awesome stuff in the background.
And comedy.
It's all the dialogue from the movie with like ridiculous stuff going on. So I might actually pick it up. It looks kind of fun. And then freaking Kojima walked out on stage. And it's like, well, we're back. And then Kojima showed off.
No, what did he? Let's be cool about this. Like, he didn't walk out in like a leather jacket like he normally does. He walked out and he's like, dude, is that Kojima? And he steps out and like.
Did you notice that the walkway was like the Michael Jackson, like lighting up as he walked, Billie Jean thing?
And then. He stands there, and everybody's cheering because it's Kojima, and he just goes, I'm back. And I'm like, that is like the coolest thing ever. That's the coolest thing ever. And Konami has to be angry.
Yeah.
Because that guy, like, I don't know what he did to them. I don't know what happened, but apparently, he had missed a step, and apparently, Sony's not afraid to pay him
right
to do his thing, because this next game was freaky.
Yeah, so they show a trailer. They don't show any gameplay or anything like that. They show this trailer that's really weird, and so immediately it's very Kojima-ish, and it's like on a beach, and there's like handprints or whatever, and you kind of follow them up. And then there's a naked dude on, like, the beach.
Yep.
And then there's a baby next to him.
Yep.
And you're like, what the crap is going on? And then the naked...
And the dude's really big. It's not normal.
Really big, which is especially weird when it zooms in on his face. And the dude is Norman Reedus. like a CG version of Norman Reedus, but very obviously Norman Reedus, who was supposed to do the Silent Hill game and... Like, you know, whatever.
Which, by the way, we have to tell people, you are maybe the biggest Norman Reedus fan on the planet.
I don't like Norman Reedus that much.
You talk about him a lot, and I understand. He's cool. I'm just afraid what's going to happen to you when we get to the part of The Walking Dead where he dies, because that will happen at some point.
He may be the one that's dead now.
Yeah,
but I don't know where you get this from. I don't like Daryl that much on The Walking Dead.
He's the one you talk about.
Well, he's the one I talk about because he's the one that's not in the comic.
Right.
Like, he's the one that the TV show is different.
I think he's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
think he's a very good actor. No, is my problem.
He's not great. He's not.
Like, I think his character is cool. I've just never been that impressed with Norman Reedus as an actor. He does this like biker beer show on AMC now or something that looks like it's probably more entertaining.
He was
his
in he's in Triple Nine last like a few months ago. That movie's pretty good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard of that movie.
He's look it up. It's pretty
Triple
good.
Nine?
I enjoyed it.
Huh. Interesting. But anyway.
But yeah, he's in that, so he's doing stuff.
He's weirdly buff in this game.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And then there's a baby, and then there's this beach, and then there's like floating people. And I have no idea what this game is.
Right.
It's called Death Stranding. And I don't know what that means. But it's definitely Kojima. It's super weird, and we're definitely going to play it. So,
yeah.
And that's also exclusive.
Yeah.
Like, what the, you know, like, what the crap? This is just nuts.
I mean, like, you know what I was thinking? I wasn't thinking, what the crap? I was thinking, I'm looking at my PlayStation 4 going, I'm really glad I own one of these.
Right decision. Like, that's, it was the
We thought
right
it was
decision.
Back in the day. We're
we
like,
did. We felt pretty
console.
Good about it. But
and now, like, I'm so glad.
Yeah. Yeah. Just nuts. Just nuts. After that, we get a new Insomniac game, which is Spider-Man. That actually looks pretty cool.
Well, they didn't show any gameplay.
They didn't show any gameplay. But it's very pretty. Yeah. And it's flying across New York and all that kind of stuff. It was a little bit of a filler for the last bit of the show, which was the gameplay demo of Days Gone, which took a while. It was a heck of a gameplay, and that looks phenomenal. And yeah, it's and that's it. No hardware. Yeah. They didn't talk about the PlayStation Neo or whatever they're calling it. They talked about PlayStation VR, but they didn't really talk about the hardware much. They just showed games for it, and that's what they did. They started out with an orchestra that led into a game, that led into a game, that led into a game, that led into a game. Sean talked a little bit here and there, and then they showed a game and a game and a game and a game and a game, and they were all really good looking titles.
And if you didn't see it, you need to go back and watch the press conference, because I kid you not, when they get to the end, you're sitting there going, I need air.
Yes.
Somebody get me. I can't breathe.
It was exhausting.
Yeah.
Because it was so much, and it was so fast, and it was nuts. And so all of that, the games that we got out, and some of them aren't coming until next year. Some of them are coming sooner. So, you know, there's a little back and forth with that, but that's fine. Whatever. What we saw was God of War. We saw Days Gone, this new game we knew nothing about that looks awesome. We saw Horizon, New Dawn, or Zero Dawn, which we saw last year but looks great now. The Last Guardian, which we've been waiting for years, which looks really good. We saw all this VR stuff. We saw this new Quantic Dream game. We saw whatever Kojima's working on. And any one of those things could have rivaled Microsoft's press conference.
Do me a favor.
Yep.
And do a quick count on exclusives. That
so
you're positive.
God of War,
right?
Definitely right. Days Gone.
Yep.
Last Guardian.
Yep.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yep.
The Quantic Dream game, Detroit Become Human.
Yep.
Not Resident Evil.
Nope.
Not Battlefront, obviously.
Nope.
Though the VR thing, the Batman VR. Like, I don't know about these VR experiences, whether or not they'll be exclusive to the PlayStation or not. But we'll assume
not.
And same way with that exclusive, or not that exclusive, that other one we saw, Farpoint.
Right.
Not Call of Duty, though Call of Duty looked really good. Crash Bandicoot obviously is. Not Lego The Force Awakens. I'm counting five right now. Death Stranding will be.
Yeah.
And so that's six.
Yeah.
Out of 11 or 12 games that they showed, at least half of them were exclusive and phenomenal looking.
These are games that you're not going to play on Windows. You're not going to play on Xbox One. They're games you have to have a PlayStation 4 for. And if I didn't own a PlayStation 4 and I saw that conference, I would be running out today to buy a PlayStation 4.
This is the other thing. And probably this is just coming into my head thinking about those six titles. But this is probably a big part of it for us. God of War, single player. Last Guardian, single player. Days Gone, single player. Horizon, single player. Detroit, single player. The Death Stranding, who knows? Knowing Kojima, probably single player focus. These are big, epic, narrative-driven single player
games.
That's
the other thing I was going to say. That's the thing about this conference. It was epic.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing. Epic.
I don't think they used the word social once in there, though.
No.
Like, it wasn't about social gaming. It was about good games. And that's, like, I get, like, and maybe this is the delineation that's happening between the PlayStation and the Xbox. And so it's not in this situation, I would argue that there's a better reason to own a PlayStation than an Xbox right now. But if this is the delineation that's happening between the two consoles, I don't think one is better than the other as far as the philosophies go. But the philosophy of Sony seems more serious first, or single player experiences, while the Xbox focus seems to be social gameplay experiences.
Well, think about what we did today, for example. Okay, I talked about it earlier this morning about figuring out about the PlayStation Plus downloads, and I've been stupid for 2 years
sure.
not downloading all those games. And we played Doom this morning. We played more NBA. We've got Uncharted on the system. We're gonna play tonight. You're
yep.
staying in my house. We're gonna spend some serious time with that. All of those games are the type of games that we like to play. Sony has multiplayer stuff, but that's not where they're going.
Yeah, they'll have Battlefront, they'll have Battlefield, they'll have Call of Duty. All those games are there. But the ones that they're putting out, the exclusive stuff, are the games that we like to play.
Yeah.
And we didn't see, you brought up Uncharted, we didn't see Naughty Dog. We
no.
didn't see the next Last Guardian, because we didn't need to.
The
Last of Us. All these games that sound the same. We didn't see the next Last of Us. We didn't need to. They shouldn't have shown it this year. Because it's not coming out.
Because they'll have
next
it for
E3.
Next year.
Yeah. So now they've got an amazing game that they'll show off next year at E3. Because they already had a ton of amazing games to show off this year. Would that have been the biggest deal if they showed that off? Sure. But they didn't need to. And again, it's not coming out until next year sometime anyway. So why show it off now? We didn't see that. We didn't see Final Fantasy VII that we saw last year. That was such a big deal. Hopefully we'll see something of it from Square. Who knows what we're going to end up seeing
right.
from Square. But there's a lot of things that they could have shown theoretically that they didn't, and it was still arguably the best press conference maybe in E3 history. It's going to easily be the best press conference this year.
I mean, I can't imagine, and I think we talked about it last year. We've talked about it a couple of times during E3. I don't know how Microsoft and Nintendo, after that, and looking at what they did, I don't know how Microsoft and Nintendo can walk around E3 today and tomorrow and Thursday and feel good about what they're putting out, because they got, and again, folks, we are not fanboys. We are objective. We want everybody to be successful because that means more cool stuff for us. But they got shellacked.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they, and I talked about it this morning on the last show because I couldn't hold it in my excitement. It was like Sony was like, I felt as if it was back in the PlayStation 2 days and the PlayStation 2 had just launched and they said, okay, we've got all of these games and we got all this stuff and we don't care who else is out there. We're the king.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, that's your problem because we're putting out the software that people want. That's the way I feel right now.
Yeah.
And if you're Microsoft or Nintendo, I don't know how you walk around E3 at this point and feel good because Sony's got all the stuff. Well, here's the thing. Sony's got all that stuff that we like to play plus everything that you've got. Okay? Like, they've got the Call of Duties. They've got Titanfall. They've got name insert third-party thing here. They've got that. It's going to be on the PlayStation 4. What do you do?
Yeah. You hope that Project Scorpio thing turns into a big deal in a year and a half. You know, like that's what Microsoft kind of left on is a year and a half from now, we've got something awesome for you. And Sony said, here's all the stuff that we've got for you in the next year.
And you don't have to buy anything else.
And you don't have to buy anything else. That's a big deal with PlayStation VR. And we'll see what they do with the Neo whatever thing. And that's happening. It's fairly well confirmed it's happening at this point. It's probably going to step up VR more, and it's probably going to be nice
right.
stuff, but apparently you're not going to need it to start, and that's big. It was very smart and big on what we talked about earlier with Microsoft and Project Scorpio. Sony now can say, okay, here's what they've got. Let's make sure ours is better.
Right.
And I think Microsoft just overplayed their hand, and again, they can both succeed. This is the thing, is that it's not a zero-sum game. You can have both Microsoft and Sony come away happy with how things work out. One of them's going to sell more than the other. But it could be close. It could not be close, and you could still consider them successful.
Can you look it up real quick? I can't believe I'm even thinking about this. But can you look up the hardware numbers real quick right now today?
Sure.
Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
I know PlayStation's at like 40 million, something like that. Let me see. PS4, Xbox One sales.
The reason I'm asking is because for me, it's all about the order, okay? Because I know Scorpio is coming, I'm not buying an Xbox One unless somebody sends us one. Chad, if somebody wants to send us one, send it our way. We'll take it.
In a year and a half.
But I'm not going to buy. No, I'm talking about the Xbox One right now.
Oh.
I'm not going to buy an Xbox One that's on the shelf right now because I know Scorpio's coming. The opposite with Sony is I don't have to buy the next console because I don't need it. But when it comes out, because they've done right by me as a consumer, I'm probably going to be more likely to pick it up.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I could go buy a vanilla Xbox One and support Microsoft, but it's like, why? And with Sony, I don't have to. So when the Neo comes out, I'm going to be like,
yeah,
I'm all in. Give me that.
Yeah, and Microsoft has Halo.
Right.
Halo Wars.
Right.
Gears of War.
Yes.
That I really want to play.
Yep.
I can't really tell you what else. That's exclusive that I can't get.
And all of those are now available on PC.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got the PC to do it. The most recent Halo, I don't know if that one's available on PC, but the other two will be.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's a big deal. PS4 sold about 40 million units. Last estimate on the Xbox One was 19 to 20 million.
Ooh.
So Sony is outpacing Microsoft by a good bit this generation so far, and I don't think that's slowing down.
Yeah, they're about to get mowed over.
Like, I think Microsoft right now has to be planning on that Project Scorpio of the mid-console lifecycle upgrade thing being a huge deal for them, and I don't see it right now because Sony's going to do the same thing, and Sony's going to have a bigger install base before that happens, and so we'll see, but I think this generation's going to go to Sony like last generation went to Microsoft.
I was talking about myself, but am I correct? Because of the way they're doing things, that when the Neo comes out, you're going to be more inclined to buy one?
Most likely because of the fact that I imagine it's going to up the VR quality.
Yes.
And because I anticipate I'll probably have a PlayStation VR in my house before Neo comes out, and then Neo will say, here's your PlayStation VR ramped up even more. Because it's not the headset that's going to have the limitation, it's the hardware of the console that's going to have the limitation.
Yep.
And so if they can make a headset that works right now well on the PlayStation 4 and is going to work better on the PlayStation 4 Neo, and I don't have to go buy anything else for that VR headset, you know,
I mean, I don't know when Neo's going to come out, but for me, like I said, it's all about the order. I could go and buy a vanilla Xbox One right now, but why?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to wait for the Scorpio, and it may not be worth messing with.
Yeah.
So I think Microsoft really hosts themselves. Like I said, we're not Sony homers. We're not. I can't reiterate that enough because we're going to get flamed. I know this because it has happened.
Like
before.
I said at the beginning of the show, we have a vested interest and we're aware of that. But I think fairly objectively, for what we want from games, and we know we're not the only opinion on gaming, we have a similar desire for what we want with games, but other people think differently. But I think there's a lot of people who feel like us in the gaming industry, and I think almost every one of those people you ask them are more excited about what Sony showed off than Microsoft. Just hands down.
It blows my mind when you get out of a press conference and the IGN folks are freaking out.
Yes.
Like, it's their job to be excited about everything.
Yes.
Like, they're talking about Nintendo trying to be positive about Nintendo, trying to find the positive things. when they got out of the Sony press conference and they came back, like, I'm not even sure they knew the cameras were on at that point. And they looked at it and they were like, ooh. Yeah. You know, they reacted just like us.
Yeah.
And when you have something like that happen and you get people that this is what they do for a living and they see the newest stuff before anybody else and they are, you know, you got something.
Yeah, absolutely. So just FYI, I also wanted to throw in the Wii U sales numbers at this point just for comparison.
Okay.
A little less than 13 million units for the Wii U.
That may go up a little bit. Based on what we saw today.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Not everybody loves that as much as we do.
That's very true. But it may. But we still don't know about this NX thing, when it's coming, what it's going to be. And when that title is coming, you know what that title is. But we'll play it coy for a little bit.
Right.
But we don't know a release on that title yet. And if it's simultaneous with the NX, the NX sales are going to be pretty awesome. The Wii U
that's the thing. They got the problem that Microsoft has, because if it's simultaneous, we're just going to buy the next thing.
Yep. Which I think for Nintendo, they're perfectly fine with. I don't think Nintendo cares. I think Nintendo's given up on the Wii U. I don't think. Because what did we see? We'll talk about that with the Nintendo show. We won't get into that right now. But yeah, Nintendo's definitely the third place finisher in this quote unquote console cycle, even though Nintendo's been really weird in it.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know about second place. I don't know about third place. All I know is Sony won.
Yeah, Sony's doing great. And the E3 was very impressive. And we'll see what else we get from them in the next couple of days. But so far, yeah, awesome. So there's Sony for you. And we loved it. And we're not going to sugarcoat that.
Can we get more?
Yeah.
Please?
Yeah.
Like, can I have like 3 hours of stage demos?
I would love to just sit and watch more of all of those games.
And I guess that's what we'll do tomorrow.
Right.
Because Wednesday is stage demo day.
That's
so
very true. We'll be watching lots of stuff, probably both tonight and tomorrow. And yeah. So.
I don't know that we're going to sleep a lot.
That's true. That's very fair. Yeah. I'll mention we will do one more show tonight. It won't be Nintendo because we're just waiting to see if we get more information from Nintendo about anything. We may not. And then the Nintendo show is going to be the Zelda show, and that's about it.
Which at this point we have about, 20 minutes worth of material with that.
It might be the shortest E4 show we've ever done.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun because it looks really good. So, but we'll do that tomorrow. We'll talk about other stuff tonight, maybe the PC gaming show, probably Ubisoft because we haven't talked about Ubisoft yet. And so that'll probably be on the docket for tonight, and then we'll do more tomorrow. So you'll get one more show from us today. That'll be 7 o'clock Central Daylight Time this evening. If you want to hang out with us, come by gamingonsister.com, click on the E4 2016 tab, and there's a player right there for you.
We have to say that we've already had Massive Pizza today.
Yes.
And we're probably not going to eat again, but we still have Massive Pizza left.
We're going to have Massive Pizza again. We're not done with Massive Pizza yet. So
I'm really happy about the Massive Pizza. Now we know that whatever the next thing is that you're here for, or whatever the thing is that I'm there for, we gotta find some Massive Pizza.
Massive Pizza does the trick.
That's really, I'm impressed,
yes,
man.
Yeah.
So. But we gotta get out of here. We got things to play.
Yes. which is a good thing.
I'm loving the fact that, you know, it's Tuesday of E3, and for the rest of the night, other than the show that we're gonna do later, We're playing games for the next 2 days, basically,
yep,
which is awesome.
Yep.
So I'm excited about that. You're going to hear us talk a lot about that.
Yep.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. For right now, though, I think that's pretty much all we've got. Go by the website, GamingOnSister.com. That thing is growing by leaps and bounds.
It's awesome.
And Evie, talking to Evie during the day, because, like, Evie is the only person that knows where I am and what I'm doing, and kind of like I'm ignoring everybody else. And I think she has been listening, because which scares me to death. because this morning she sends me a message that said, "How did this show go this morning? Sorry, I overslept." Which I know she was listening, but anyway. She says to me, I think I found a new template for the website that will be better than what you have. And I'm like, wait, what? So we might be doing a little website maintenance after E3. Because she's found more stuff that might be interesting for us.
Awesome.
So I don't know how it could get more awesome, but apparently...
I'll take it.
Yeah.
So
go by there, check that out. We've got the live blogs. We've got links to the Patreon, which you need to go check out.
Please.
Because, you know, Tommy worked really, really hard on that. And we
really want PlayStation VR. Dude.
Yes. Like, yes, we do. We need... Well, let me just put a number on it. We need $1,000. Okay, that's what we need. We need $1,000 to pay for PlayStation VR. So
thank you very much.
Definitely go by there and check that out. Go by the Facebook page. Not a lot of people talking on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Which I'm mind blown. I think they're paying attention because after every show, we get somebody going, yeah!
Right.
but nobody's really saying anything. So definitely go out to the Facebook page and start a conversation because we are paying attention. Like, we're in the office space again today at Andrews & Associates. Got to give them a plug because they gave us space and allowed us to do everything that we do. And there's not much to do here. While we're not playing games or watching stuff, because that's what we're here to do. So I've basically had Facebook open going, hey, I wonder if you guys are paying attention. So if you haven't been by the Facebook page, please go by there, start a conversation about what you're hearing. We hope you enjoy this. Of course, we have the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And we think we might have found a way to play that over the live stream. We may not try that, but we think we may have found a way to do that. So if you want to leave us a voicemail, we would be glad to have you. Please, please, please use that. Other than that, I think that's about it. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This is Gaming Uncensored. Continuing coverage of E3 2016. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.